Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the NASCAR CAM video teleconference. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. In a few minutes, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions on procedure will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, NASCAR's Denise Maloof. Denise, go ahead.
Thanks, Art. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the NASCAR CAM video teleconference in advance of this weekend's NASCAR events at Nashville Super Speedway. It's doubleheader weekend there, where the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series takes the track Friday, and the NASCAR Nationwide Series follows on Saturday. Joining us for the first of two NASCAR CAM opportunities today is Justin Allgaier. He's the driver of the number 31 Wolf Rack Rental Chevrolet for Turner Motorsports. He heads to Nashville second in the NASCAR Nationwide Series standings, trailing only teammate Jason Leffler by 2 points. Justin, big showcase weekend for your team and the series in Nashville.
It really is. You know, to go into Nashville, pretty much our first standalone race, being first and second in points with Turner Motorsports and having all three teams inside the top five, I think that that's it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that there's still going to be, you know, quite a few Cup drivers that are going to be there, but Nashville's been a racetrack that, you know, as a Nationwide driver, we feel like we kind of have the ball in our court because the Cup guys aren't getting the extra track time every Sunday like they are on a lot of these other racetracks. So I think we're all looking forward to it, and obviously we want to get the points lead whenever we leave for sure.
Sounds good. Let's go straight to media questions for Justin Allgaier.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they were received. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from your queue by pressing pound. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And please hold while we poll for questions. First question comes from Kerry Murphy, the final lap.
Hey, Justin, thanks so much for being on with us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the new car. How are things going with that, handful of races in? How's the relationship with your crew chief regarding that car, and just your overall view on that?
Well, Kerry, it's been great. The new car, the four races last year were really kind of just get your feet wet and see where things were at. And I feel like all of us have worked really hard in the off season. The first couple of races this year, it seems like everything's gone really well. Obviously, there's been a lot of things that we've had to learn. And I think the one really cool thing for me, though, is when the COT Cup car was unveiled, it took them, years to be able to fine-tune all the little details and get the chassis where they wanted them. Now we've got the benefit of having a lot of that knowledge. And as you mentioned, the crew chief, Jimmy Elledge, comes from the Cup side and has the experience on that style of car. So, it's good to be able to have that knowledge and that information. So I feel like for us as a team at Turner Motorsports, we've done a good job over the off season of building really good race cars. And I think the racing's been really, really good. You know, whether it be on the short tracks, intermediates, the mile and a halfs, the big series speedies, I think all of it's been a lot of fun. And I'm excited about when we get into this main part of the season, some of these racetracks that, weren't necessarily as fun in the old style car, I think they're going to be a blast in this new style car.
You mentioned Turner Motorsports, you're with a new team this year, and they came out with a bang so far this season with a win at Vegas with Mark Martin. You got to be pretty excited on how all that is coming together.
You know, I really am. Leaving Penske Racing at the end of the season last year, I was a bit nervous as that I was going to be able to find something that was going to be as competitive. And when Mr. Turner gave me the opportunity to get behind the wheel of his race cars, being an independent team, it's always an uphill battle trying to compete with the Cup teams. And to have the Hendrick power that we do and to have as good a race cars as that we're building, the backing from Chevrolet, I feel like I jumped in equally as good, if not better, equipment. And that says a lot for an independent team to be as strong as they have been. As a driver, it's really comforting knowing we've come out of the box strong with a new team, new crew chief, new crew. Usually it takes, at least 5-10 races in before you really catch a stride. And we had a top two at Vegas, only to our teammate, which is really good. And then to be able to have the sixth place in Texas and then seventh place this last weekend at Talladega, I feel like our strengths are slowly getting stronger. And hopefully by the end of the season, we'll have a great opportunity to run well each and every week.
And finally, you got a good rotating mix of drivers, big cup names coming in and out of some of those cars for you. Do you get to lean on those guys those weeks that they're driving for your team?
You know, absolutely. You know, it seems like everybody at Turner Motorsports that gets behind the wheel of a race car has their own strengths. And whether it be the guys that are running for the championship, me, Jason, or Reed, or the cup guys of Ryan or Mark or Casey, you know, James Buescher and Mikey Kyle, you know, all these guys getting in the wheel, you're always learning something from each one of them. And I think that's the beauty of having one car that kind of floats around a little bit. I know that the guys that install the seats probably don't like it as much, but it's nice to have all of that knowledge and all of that experience under one roof. And I think that's one good thing that Mr. Turner's done is he's tried to put guys behind the wheel, not only to help diversify the program and to help bring younger guys like myself up, but also to make his program stronger. You know, adding the cup guys in only helps all of us because the information that they bring from the cup side, the experience that they bring, you know, they're definitely helping make our equipment better. And just like Mark getting the first win for Turner Motorsports at Vegas, that was huge not only for us as a company, but to be able to have that knowledge as to how to make his car faster ultimately was the reason why we were able to run second. And I think that's going to be the case moving forward to the end of the season.
All right, Justin, it's always awesome to talk with you. Good luck this weekend. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
And, sir, your next question comes from JaredTurnerSteed.com.
Hey, Justin. The top seven drivers in the standings are separated by just 12 points. I wanted to get your take on why the standings are so close at this point, and also wanted to find out how that affects your strategy moving forward.
Well, I think one of the reasons why we see the points so close is that the new point system definitely has made things look a lot different than what the old style point system did. You know, I guess 12 points would be probably close to 60, 55 or so in the old point system. So, yeah, I got to looking at that a little bit. We were actually behind Ricky Stenhouse by about 22 points, I think, and I was thinking about that, and it didn't seem like a whole lot until I started calculating the old point system, and it was more than I thought it was. So, you know, I feel like the one really good thing, though, is this race, this new race car has really kind of evened the playing field. I feel like all of us are running really, really close together each and every week, and that's what makes it fun. You know, we're having a blast. We're pushing each other. And I think, too, you know, when you take the cup guys out of it, I think that's where you saw the big points variance. You know, it seemed like the Nationwide guys were always pretty close to each other in the points, and the cup guys maybe were a little bit ahead, and I feel like that's kind of changed now. So I feel like that the new point system is as big a reason as any for the points being as close as they are, and I love that. I think that this is what the sport needed. It's what we needed as racers to push ourselves, and I feel like, you know, you just have to manage your races better. That's the one key to this new point system is managing your races. As we saw at Talladega, I felt horrible for Ricky getting caught up in that wreck because he and I were actually working together at the time, and you can all see what it did to affect his points standing. So, you know, you got to keep the races your bad races to a minimum and try to get those extra bonus points anytime you can.
And just to follow up with one question, when is it too early to really start thinking about points a lot? I mean, is it too early now, or do you do that from the first race, or how does that work, especially in light of the new point system?
Well, you're exactly right. Daytona was when we started looking at it. I don't think there's ever a time to be too early. Now, obviously, you can't get so caught up in that fact that you end up hurting yourself. You've got to take it all and really try to use it to your advantage. But I feel like as a race team, we all look at the points. We understand where we're at. Who we're racing against, I think that's important. And you know, we all want to win races, and I think going out each and every week, that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we put ourselves in good positions. You know, if we're racing a guy that maybe isn't necessarily running for points, you've got to outweigh the risk versus reward, whether or not it's worth racing that guy and you know, in turn possibly wrecking yourself, or is it better off to just you know, maybe give up a spot to secure some more points. So it's really a risk versus reward process, and I think that's what we're all really focusing on right now.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Jared.
And, sir, your next question comes from Mr. David Caraviello, NASCAR.com.
Justin, hey, I've talked to a few drivers this year who have mentioned studying video to try to get better in the race car. And I'm wondering, do you have any idea how common this is, and do you do it?
I actually do it a lot. Video has been something for me that over the last couple of years I've been very fortunate to have not only on board but tapes of the race. I think, you can always learn from the guys that you're around. And it's funny, I thought that I was really working hard inside the race car until I watched some of the other guys on boards. And it's definitely right now you're having to push yourself, not only the car, but you're pushing yourself to its limits to be able to run these things fast. So, excuse me, I think that it is important to watch video. I know it's probably split 50-50. Some guys are doing the iRacing.com simulation racing. Some guys are watching video. I've tried to get a good mix, racing a little bit as I can, but definitely the video is where I feel like that my biggest advantages have come from.
Where exactly does it help you? I've heard some guys talk about how they overlay like their qualifying lap against like the top qualifier, and they look at practice the same way. I mean, how does it help you specifically?
Well, I think the one thing is, a lot of us use Dartfish program, which is a really cool program that'll overlay two cars. I think they've done it a couple of times on the different broadcasts. We do that for practice, qualifying, pit stops during the course of a race. They'll actually film pit stops, and you can see if you're getting beat coming into pit road, getting beat leaving pit road. And that's all the kind of things, when you were testing, you could overlay data and you could look at lap times. Now it's become so confined to the racetrack that you're really trying to figure out where you can gain and where you can, you're actually maybe pushing too hard. And so for me, it's been important to see where we're at compared to the guys that are running well. And I think that is important. For me, one of the biggest things that I do is I typically will drive into the corner too hard. And this new style car doesn't like that as much sometimes. So you really got to watch, where you're at compared to everybody else. And I feel like that watching that video and seeing how they're doing things, maybe it's a line characteristic or acceleration or something, will definitely help you in the long run.
Justin, thanks as always, man.
Thanks, bud.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Your next question comes from Mr. Dwight Drum, Racetake.com.
Thank you, Justin. As far as you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but what's been the biggest change for you on a track because of the points change in the points to the championship point system?
Well, I think the biggest change on the track is, like I said, you typically will race the nationwide guys more and not worry about the cup guys as much. Obviously, every position is worth a point, and we're still getting points based on where we finish. But at the same time, like I said, the risk versus reward is really important. As far as does it change the way I race? No, not really. I'm out there to win races, and I'm pushing myself, whether it's pit strategy or on the track. But I do think the one thing about this new point system is it definitely makes you more aware of making some kind of bigger calls on maybe pit strategy or on what you're going to do, two tires, four tires. I think typically right now we're all playing it a little more safe. When we get down towards the end of the season, we'll probably push a little bit harder. But I think a lot of the nationwide only teams that are running for the points right now are probably playing it a little bit safer just because we don't really know how this is going to all play out. It used to be by now there'd be one guy that'd have a 100, 150 point lead, and everybody would kind of start settling in and getting into the rhythm. And it's just not that way right now, and I think the points seem to be a lot closer, and so it's making us, be a bit more conservative every week.
Okay, great. And could you describe it? You kind of like an up and down process you've had getting in rides and so forth. Could you describe what that's like? Finding a ride at your age and everything else at this point in your career.
I'll tell you, it's something that I don't want to have to do again for a long time. It's anytime you have a ride. And it's going well, like it was at Penske, you almost get a little bit too comfortable. And I think that's the one thing about the sport that we all have to remember is nothing's for certain. And, one of the funny things is I kept asking, what can I do differently? Is there anything I can do better? And I kept getting the same answer of everything's going well, you're doing everything we're asking you to do, and everything's good. And sometimes doing everything exactly right still doesn't work. So, you know, it was tough to have the opportunity, you know, to have that situation where I was out of a ride and not sure what I was going to do. But at the same time, you know, I've been around the garage for a little while now, and I've met a lot of great people. And I think the one thing that I just had to do was go around and lean on the people that I had met and the people that had helped me in the past and try to take those relationships that I had and try to build on them as best as I could. And ultimately, that got me together with Mr. Turner and the guys at Turner Motorsports. For me, you know, it was bittersweet because I love the fact that I was getting the opportunity to work with a new team. But at the same time, I was disappointed. You know, I felt like we were really getting into our stride at the end of last season and would have been extremely successful this year. So it's tough, but at the end of the day, it's the only plan is there is no plan, and you just got to go out there and race like there's no tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, Justin. Great answer. Bye.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Jill Irwin, NASCAR.com.
Hey, Justin. You had mentioned earlier talking about Jimmy. How much of an adjustment is it for you when you start working with a new crew chief?
Well, I think anytime you're working with a new crew chief, there's a lot of things, whether it's driver lingo, crew chief lingo. You know, what is that person going to be like on the radio? What's their mindset? What's their attitude? You know, there's so many things that play into it. The other part for me that's always tough is when you start working with a new crew chief, if I say the car is loose, they've got to understand what loose is. And you know, some drivers will say they're loose, and that might mean a quarter of a round on the track bar. Some drivers might say that they're loose, and that means 10 rounds on the track bar and all the wedge you can put in it and all these adjustments. So I think, you know, getting together with Jimmy has been really good because we're both really calm personalities. We're both racers, and I think that's the one key is, you know, Jimmy races winged go-karts on you know, pretty much every week, and he's been around it his whole life. He races the street stocks that Frank Kimmel, the series there. He's been in a race car. He understands it, and he understands what I'm trying to tell him whenever I say it, and I think that's something that's been huge as far as our relationship goes. We always joke that it's probably really boring to listen to our radio because neither one of us really get all that excited about anything, but it's been a great relationship, and I'm glad that he's become part of our team, and we can have him up on the box for sure.
You just mentioned, obviously, kind of understanding what the terminology means. How important is it for you guys to like each other, or is it more so just kind of understanding each other is the key?
Well, I would say that you definitely have to like each other. There's guys that get along that don't, and they understand that it's a business relationship, and they understand each other really well, and that's successful. But for Jimmy and I, we get along really well, but we also understand each other really well, and you know, I think one of the cool things is the last couple of years he was on the Cup side. You know, he had a younger driver for quite a while, and then he had a couple of different drivers right at the end of his Cup crew chiefing there last year. So I think that really has helped him because he's had to learn a bunch of different lingos and how to understand them and how to put them into a race car. So he's been able to take that knowledge and put it into myself. And, you know, I feel like my terminology sometimes isn't exactly where it needs to be at, but I feel like I give probably more information than I should even sometimes, but I give a lot of information back. It's just deciphering how I say it sometimes, and I feel like Jimmy's done a good job of being able to understand that and to use that into making the cars better. So it's definitely important for me that we get along well and we like each other and we get along well on the racetrack and on the radio.
All right. Thanks a lot, Justin.
Thanks, Joe.
And, sir, your next question comes from Mr. Rick Mentor, racetoday.com.
Hey, Justin, my question is following up on David's question about using the video. And I wonder what you might have learned from watching other drivers' in-car video.
Well, I think anytime you're looking at the onboard video, you'll see little things, whether it's mannerisms with the feet, with the shifting, the way that they turn the wheel. You know, for me, I actually probably ran too quick of a steering box for a little while and started watching video and how much guys were turning their hands. And it taught me something about this new style car. I think a lot of these guys have had some time now with the Cup car and are able to understand that. So being able to learn that part of it. And then, too, just seeing how hard they're driving. I think that's part of it. You know, when I ran the ARCA series and even when I ran the Truck series back a couple of years ago, it seemed like, you know, you would start out and you would go really, really hard on restarts, and then you'd maybe get into a rhythm and really find yourself just kind of riding for a little while and then going again at the end. And it seems like this new style car, the Cup car, the Nationwide car, you have to be 110% every lap. You know, every lap's like a qualifying lap. And so I think watching those videos has shown me how hard I can push it, and that definitely helps when you're out there running.
And your next question comes from Phil Thomas, Totally Racing.
Justin, this weekend you'll be on concrete. Well, what different driving style do you have to do on concrete as opposed to asphalt?
Well, I think anytime you go to a concrete racetrack, it definitely changes the game. Concrete typically will have a lot more grip than the asphalt surfaces. One of the problems that we find with the concrete is the edge of when you go over the edge and you push the car too hard, sometimes it's not as easy to feel that. You know, on the asphalt tracks, you know, if you get a little bit loose, you get a little bit tight, you have a good feel for it. And there's a pretty wide gap between, you know, going over the edge and end up crashing yourself. On concrete, it typically seems that you can push it and you think everything's good until the breaking point. And once you get to that point, you're almost a lot of times too far gone to even be able to realize it, and you end up getting yourself in trouble. So you definitely have to make sure that you have a good car underneath of you and everything's stable. The other part about Nashville is that not only the surface, but, you know, it's got mile and a half straightaways and mile corners, the width and the length of them. So, you know, being able to navigate your way around the racetrack is really tricky and important. So, you know, you got to take all that into consideration when you're getting ready to go there. The other part of it is temperature. You know, on an asphalt track, a lot of times temperature, you know, on the track temperature is a big deal, and it changes the grip levels. Concrete doesn't seem to have as much of a swing from loose to tight as what concrete does. So, or asphalt doesn't from to concrete. So you definitely have to take all those things into consideration when you're going to a track like Nashville.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
The floor is yours again.
Thank you, Art. Justin, thanks for some good stuff today. We appreciate your time, and I know the media does, and have a great weekend at Nashville.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Glad to be on, and thanks for all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. A transcript of today's teleconference will be available later today along with the audio files. All can be accessed at www.nascarmedia.com. That does conclude our teleconference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.
Said you can now disconnect. Good.